This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love. Infinite worlds await at the most magical place on Earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome to the Migration Podcast, your guide for waterfowl hunting tactics, gear, and conservation. And now, your host, Brian Halbly.
What is up, everyone? As Johnny M. said, I'm your host, Brian Halbly. I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in to the Migration Waterfowl Podcast. Thank you so much. It's hard to believe we're almost the end of January here already. Another duck season has come and gone, and with the exception of a late goose season in February, my mind is already drifting into the next phases of the year. My in-laws spend their winters in Florida, and most years, Karen and I make a late winter trip just to shake off the cold and warm up below the frost line. We usually get a fishing trip in, and if the weather's good enough, a few days at the pool and the beach. After that, spring slowly arrives, and that brings spring cleaning, crappie fishing, morel mushroom hunting, and turkey season. From there, Karen is finishing up teaching school for the summer. Our daughters will come back home from college, and we'll be taking our summer family vacation. And before you know it, duck season comes back around. As much as I want to look forward to that, life goes fast enough without us letting our minds skip over the calendar to another duck season. So don't get so busy planning the future that you forget to enjoy the here and now. It's always a good reminder for all of us to slow down, smell the roses, and soak up the moments we're currently in. Like a lot of you, I'm already missing duck season, but life will barrel on to the next season fast enough. I won't have the time or care for what some call duck depression. I'll be too busy enjoying life and what it brings each and every day. Got to mention the giveaway again that I'm doing on the YouTube channel. If you haven't gone over there yet, we're going to be giving away a full case of Heavy Shot, Heavy Hammer, 12 gauge or 20 gauge. If you win, just have to let me know what gauge you want. We're also going to be giving away an animator from Bluebird Waterfowl, and that'll fit your Lucky Duck or Mojo Spinning Wing Decoy. We also got a couple of hats, and I'm working on a few other prizes. We'll see what I can come up with. But you got to go over to the YouTube channel, find the New Year's giveaway video, like that video, comment on that video, done, and you also have to make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. I think we're already almost halfway to 1,000. Once we get to 1,000 subscribers, we're going to randomly draw the winners for those prizes. And lots of good content over there. So go over and check that out. Help us get to that 1,000 subscriber mark. And looking forward to giving away these great prizes. I've also been getting a lot of listener questions, so I figured I would put out there on socials and on this podcast as well. If you have any questions you want to ask me, go ahead and submit them by email. You can also send me a message on any of our socials. You can ask me anything, just about. I want to put together a listener question episode before too long, kind of a season wrap-up and listener question episode. So got some great questions already. It would be good to get a few more. I just want to make sure I've got enough to fill an episode. So send me whatever you want to send over and get your question and who sent it mentioned on the podcast. I'll be at the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania next week on February 5th and 6th. I'll be spending some time in the Bluebird Waterfowl booth both days. So be sure to stop by, say hello, check out all the Bluebird Waterfowl products. There's going to be all kinds of waterfowl gear and duck hunting trips and goose hunting trips and outfitters and manufacturers. So I'm going to be trying to bring you as much from that show as possible. Any new products or cool products there, I'll be doing some videos for the socials and probably record some podcasts while I'm there also. I'll also be attending the Toronto Sportsman Show March 14th through the 16th. I'll be hanging out at the Punisher Waterfowl booth with my friend Damian Pittman, Craig Lalonde, and the rest of the crew. Be sure to stop and see us. Punisher Waterfowl will be hosting the refuge area. It's a dedicated waterfowl area at the show. It's full of duck and goose hunting product manufacturers, guides, and outfitters. It's your chance to get your eyes and hands on the latest waterfowl gear and products. We'll also be recording some podcasts there and doing live updates throughout the weekend. I hope to see some of you all there and hear how your seasons went and catch up with you a little bit. If you haven't already, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you do that, send me a message or an email after you leave the review, and I will send you a Migration Waterfowl podcast decal. And speaking of hanging out with the Punisher Waterfowl guys at the Toronto Sportsman, on this episode, I'll be talking with Damian Pittman. Damian is a retired Canadian Army veteran and founder of Punisher Waterfowl. We discuss the challenges and commitments of podcasting, Damian's journey from military service to waterfowl hunting, and the evolution of his brand. We also talk about Damian's experiences while guiding hunts in Canada, the clientele he encounters, and the dynamics of hunting across different regions. Damian shares insights on the community aspect of hunting and his long-term goals for his podcast and brand. We also discuss the evolution of the Toronto Sportsman Show, Punisher's waterfowl role in the refuge area of the show, and the introduction of innovative seminars. We talk about memorable hunting experiences and the balance between family life and outdoor pursuits. Damian shares insights into the waterfowl hunting industry, the challenges faced in promoting events, and his personal journey in the waterfowl hunting world. We wrap up talking about what's next for Punisher Waterfowl and some rapid-fire questions as always. I always have a good time catching up with Damian, and I appreciate him making time to join me on the show. The good Lord has blessed us with another opportunity to get together for another conversation. So let's get into episode number 40. Welcome back to another episode of the Migration Waterfowl Podcast. I appreciate you all getting back in here tonight and joining me on another episode. Got a special guest from Ontario, Canada, Mr. Damian Pittman. How's it going tonight, brother?
I'm good. I don't know about how special of a guest I'm going to be, but like I told you, manage your expectations, buddy.
Yeah, that's a two-way street for sure, my friend.
No, thanks for having me on, buddy. I'm really excited about this. Should be a ton of fun, and yeah.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You were gracious enough to have me on your show a couple of times and wanted to return the favor and get you on the talk to some of our listeners. I'm sure I've got a lot of overlap. I'm sure anybody that listens to my podcast has been listening to you. You've been around over 200 episodes now, right?
Yeah, I think the one we did the other night, I think was 212 was okay. The one, yeah, that you jumped on the other night with us. So yeah, man, it's been fun, and I know I've heard you say that you've made it a priority to every week do a show. I don't think the majority of people realize, you know, that it is a commitment to put out a show every week.
Oh yeah, no question about that.
Yeah, so. Good on you for keep going, buddy, because there's a lot of people that try this, right? And then, you know, it gets, I don't know what their expectations of doing a podcast is. I don't know if people think they're going to get rich and famous overnight or what, but it seems like a lot of people lose their drive to keep putting the shows out. So congratulations to you for keep going, buddy, because I think that's the secret to anything in this industry right now. Just keep going. Don't quit. Just yeah. Keep going. It may take a little bit longer than you thought, but just keep going.
Yeah, consistency for sure. And you got to want to do it for the right reasons too. Like you said, there's some people that want to start a podcast for the wrong reasons, to, like you said, be famous or whatever, mm-hmm. make a bunch of money, but if you're not doing it for the right reasons, it's not going to last long. And statistics show new podcast, people get weeded out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, for me, like I would be lying if I said that I didn't want my podcast to generate money, right? Because that's
sure.
Because it is part of my business plan. But I'm also fully aware that I'm not heading down to the Lamborghini store anytime soon and then picking up a new car. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
man, like I think that's just today's age. They see people being able to, well, what they see is the end product. They see people that do videos, that do podcasts, that have YouTube channels and have all this success, and they think it's easy to do. But all those people, even the people that drive you absolutely bananas on YouTube and you're saying it's crap and whatever, they have devoted a certain amount of time every day to hone in on their craft, and it takes a commitment to pull it off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so before we get too far down the road, in case there's a few people out there that haven't heard of you, just kind of introduce yourself, where you're from and what you do and how you got started.
All right. So you and I have had enough conversations now to know that I'll just ramble on forever. So if I keep going too long, just reel me back in. So I'm retired military. I was a combat engineer in the Canadian Army, did 19 years. I released medically due to injuries from Afghanistan and Iraq. And, so that was in 2019. I retired and now this is really what I do, right? Like I do the Punisher Waterfowl brand and the podcast and trade shows and stuff like that. But in 2014, I got moved from another base into a new area, and there was a bunch of Army dinks around, and they were really making it hard for anybody new coming into that area to get permission to hunt. So my buddy and I, we were trying to find permission. We just couldn't get it. We were two Army guys new to the area. And there had been some in the past that had sort of kind of ruined some relationships with some property owners. Mm. And we just couldn't get any permission, right? Like the water was okay, but the fields and where we were, it was like the Mecca for Canada's, right? So we were trying to get some field permissions. So, excuse me. So I don't know. I went on this website. And I asked someone to create me a logo, so which is the logo that's right here on my hat. And I think I paid like $50 or something for someone to create this logo for me. And I created a social media page, and I just started, I don't know, just making posts on social media. And then all of a sudden, all these people from the area that I was living in were... they were inviting me to go hunt with them. And I was like, all right, it's working. So, and what I didn't say is I just created a logo and a social media page with hopes that I could meet some local people was what the goal was. And it worked. I started meeting people and they were like, oh yeah, just come down and hang out and take some pictures and put them on your social media. So this was like back in 2014. And that worked for a little bit, and you know, we were out on a hunt one day, and a guy said to me, he was like, you know, what is Punisher Waterfowl? What do you do? And I really didn't have an answer for him because I didn't do anything. Like I just literally made a social media page. So I started branding t-shirts and hats and stickers and you name it. I was slapping the logo on it and I was selling it. But I was doing it out of the basement of my home, and I was still full-time Army at the time, so didn't have a lot of time, you know, deployments and stuff. And bounced around that for a little bit, and I was even making my own gear, decoy bags and stuff like that. But it just, it was so, so hard to try and make a product like that and compete with the big box stores. Even, sure. even like, you know, the Cabela's and the Bass Pros, but then even companies like, and these are great friends of mine now, but like Rig 'Em Right and Tangle Free and Banded and these brands, right? Like these were who I was competing with, and it was just, it just wasn't going to happen, right? So I sort of took a step back after that and tried to reevaluate some things. I took on a business partner, and then I approached him one day and I said, what about a podcast? And he thought it was a great idea. So started a podcast, you know, 212, 213 episodes later. And now, I don't know, man, like I always, when I talk to myself about the brand, I can name what I'm doing and stuff. But when I'm put on the spot, I always find it's a little bit hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, my biggest thing is that I want to stay connected in the industry. I know I'm not going to get filthy rich doing this. I'll be 48 years old in a month. You know, my priorities are always with my family and stuff. So like I'll always sacrifice the brand for my family, if that makes sense.
For sure.
So, I just want to stay connected in the industry. I love meeting people. I love meeting guys like you, and I love traveling. I traveled to Baton Rouge last year for the Delta Expo. I'll be in Oklahoma City this year for the Delta Expo. I do my own thing at the biggest trade show in Canada here in Toronto, which you're going to be coming up. You're going to be hanging out with us for a weekend, so I'm super pumped about that. But that's Punisher Waterfowl, man. Like, I don't know, it's a hodgepodge of a lot of things. A friend of mine, Emily Head, told me, she said, Punisher Waterfowl is a collective hub of all things waterfowl. And that did not come from Damian Pittman's brain, that came from somebody else a lot smarter. But I like that. But I'm not sure that it's 100% true.
This episode is brought to you by Bluebird Waterfowl, creator of the Animator. The Animator is revolutionizing the waterfowl community with the world's first spinning wing decoy conversion kit. Turn your existing spinner into a water motion decoy in seconds and learn how to finish more birds with the sound of water. Guaranteed to boost your hunt or your money back. Flaring birds with your spinner is a thing of the past. Try one risk-free at bluebirdwaterfowl.com or at your favorite local outdoor supplier. So have you been waterfowl hunting your whole life? How did you kind of get into that?
Well, so for your listeners, I'm not sure how many people know, but on the northeast part of Canada, there's an island called Newfoundland, and that's where I was raised. That's where I lived all my life until I joined the Army.
Okay.
It's an island stuck out in the middle of the North Atlantic, really, is what it is. And so saltwater ducks and we would get black ducks and a little bit of teal. But we didn't have a lot growing up. My community that I lived in was probably 400 people. There was nothing. So a pastime would be to go out and try and shoot saltwater ducks and black ducks and teal. But there was no... there was no science behind it. We literally took our grandfather's single shot cooey, threw it over our shoulder, because none of us were allowed to use a pump action, because pump actions were way too dangerous for 13-year-old kids. That's the way the parents looked at it. But we could have single shots, and we would take our grandfather's single shots, and we'd just walk the shoreline and try and you know, puddle jump and sneak up on birds. And so I did that, you know, growing up. And then when I joined the Army, things got different. I was living on barracks on base, so I couldn't have a gun in the closet or anything like that. So it was after, so I would say it was probably a good 10 years where I never duck hunt at all. And then I came back from Afghanistan in 2007, and a buddy said to me, he said, "You used to duck hunt. Why don't you come out with me one day?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess." So we had just had a baby, so things were busy at home and stuff like that. But I went out, and of course, we got into some mallards, and it just got everything kick-started again. And I was like, "Oh boy, this is going to be bad." And my wife wasn't working; she was a stay-at-home mom at the time.
Sure.
The brand new baby. I was just, I was low in the ranks, so I wasn't making a pile of money. And yeah, and then this obsession of duck hunting comes in, and I'm going to tell you, there was more than one argument over, can I have $100 to go buy some decoys or a new call? And yeah, but you know what? It was good lessons and things, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah. So what did typical seasons look like for you, being having your obligations with the Army? Did that afford you much time to get out?
It wasn't too bad towards, 2014. So somewhere in around where I started with the business, the fall of the year is usually one of the busier times, and for me anyways, when I was in the Army, that was usually when we would hit the field, would be the fall time frame. So we would go out for 2 weeks, and then we'd probably have a week or two home or 3 weeks home. So you could always get out on the weekends, right? But the Monday to Friday, that didn't happen. It was always Saturday, Sunday, and the beauty thing was that my wife she was the type, listen, you go do whatever you want at 3 o'clock in the morning. But at noon, that was always the time. Just yeah. Be home by noon. Okay. Be home by noon. And then, you help out with the baby and you do all the stuff that needs to get done around the house. But yeah, it wasn't too bad. For the amount of birds that was in the area that I was in, and there wasn't a ton of pressure, like it was okay. It wasn't bad, 2-3 times a week, and that was pretty good.
Sure. So you started your brand, and then eventually you started helping out, doing a little bit of guiding too. How did you get into that?
Oh boy, to hear. Yeah, so back in, I'm going to say probably around 2017, I ended up out in Saskatchewan hunting with an old friend, and he had just started up a guide service out there in Saskatchewan. So me and a couple buddies, we went out, hung out with him for a week, and that was the fall of 2017. And every fall since, he's been asking me, "Why don't you come out and guide?" And I'm not a guide. I'm not a great duck hunter. I love it, but I'm not great. I'm not a good caller. I just love doing it. So he kept on, and I said, "I don't know, man. Like, I'm just not a guide." I said, "But I tell you what I will do," because I knew he needed help. I said, "I'll come out, and I'll run your day-to-day operations for you. And then that way, that takes that weight off your shoulders. You can focus on guiding and being with the clients. And I'll take care of all that bullshit." And so he was like, "Okay, sounds good." So that would have been, let's say, April of 2024 that we had come to that decision. So that's 7 years after the initial ask for me to come out.
Okay.
And this is for Angaros. So for anybody that that's on YouTube that follows outfitters on Garrels is one of the best in Canada, I would say. And so the head guy, Claudio Ongaro, so they own two lodges. They have one in Alberta, one in Saskatchewan. My buddy is partners with them for the one in Saskatchewan. So he helps run the one in Saskatchewan. So Claudio calls me in April and says, hey, listen, we've been talking and we think it would be better if you came to Alberta and ran the day-to-day operations. So my history, and again, I'm all over the place, Brian, so reel me in, buddy. But my history is that one of my injuries that I got from serving is that I have PTSD and I have some issues with multitasking and stress and all that crap, right? So so I said to Claudio, I was like, you know, I'm really, really nervous about coming to Alberta and the workload. I know Saskatchewan is just a little bit smaller with the number of clientele that come in and stuff like that. And he assured me, he was like, buddy, he said, come out, give it a try. If it's too much, it's too much. He said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You're not going to, you know, do anything that's going to be detrimental to the operation. He said, but just come out and try it. So I agreed to go out there. And I left the end of August, just this past August, and I got out there, helped get everything squared away, get started. And then I started watching the guides and how the process is and how the program that they have established. So the Alberta Lodge, they bring in 10 clients at a time, two groups of five, and there's five guides. So two guides are hunting, and then the other three are on the road scouting, and they're trying to find hunts for the next hunt. And I just started watching that for a couple weeks, and I was like, man, I was like, this is like a well-oiled machine. And they would come together after every morning, after every evening scout, and you know, Claudio would have a list with all the properties, and yep, there's 1,000 birds here. This is how they're acting. Like it was pretty impressive to sit down and listen to the way that they manage the areas around them when they're hunted and stuff. And I started thinking, I'm like, man, maybe I could do this, because it didn't seem to be that stressful. Because now, and the reason is that there's a lot of birds out there.
Sure.
So, you know, for anybody that's anybody that's guiding professionally, that's doing it for a living, they would know the hardest part is finding the birds. Once you find the birds, it's easy, right? So out there, it wasn't easy, but it wasn't extremely difficult to find birds. So my buddy Daryl, who managed the Saskatchewan Lodge, he had a guide that didn't show up. And so he was down a guide, and he was trying to make it work. So it was just him and his girlfriend. They were pretty much the only two, and it was just very hard for him to do it. And I just offered. I said, Daryl, I said, if you would have some patience and probably you'll have to teach me and hold my hand for a little bit. I said, but I'll come to Saskatchewan. I'll talk to Claudio and I'll come to Saskatchewan and guide for you for, you know, the 6-7 weeks is what it was. And he was like, I promise you. He said, I won't get mad at you. I'll hold your hand. I'll show you what you need to do. I'll never steer you wrong, which I knew he wouldn't. I've known him for years. He said, but I could really use your help. So went to Claudio, and I would say that was 8 o'clock in the morning. By 9:30, I was packed up and I was driving. I was driving a 20 passenger school bus from Alberta to Saskatchewan to go guide for at the Saskatchewan Lodge. Got there, hit the ground running, and buddy, I can tell you, it was probably one of the best experiences of my life.
That's great.
We had great clients. Lots of birds, Yeah, it was, and I'm going, as long as they'll take me, I'm going back.
Yeah,
yeah.
So what's the story behind the bus? Was that a company vehicle, or
yeah?
How'd so you get they, stuck with that?
Well, because the vehicle that I was using was the extra scouting vehicle.
Mm.
So I couldn't take that with me because it was the spare vehicle for the hunters when they're, or for the guides when they're scouting. So, and Daryl needed an extra vehicle in Saskatchewan for picking up clients from the airport. So there was this, it was a good, it wasn't rickety or anything like that. It was an yeah. awesome shape, but it was just funny. Just in this white bus all by myself with all my gear, you know, laid on floors,
sure.
laid on the floor and just driving from Alberta to Saskatchewan. It was pretty fun.
This episode is also brought to you by the Duck Hole & Company, Attracting Feathers Together. They are a full-service habitat company located in North Carolina. If you have questions about waterfowl habitat or need some work done on your property, contact them through any of their social media platforms at the Duck Hole & Company. They can also fix you up with golden millet, also known as the duck buffet, and the best bang for your duck. So do you see a lot of people coming up from the States to hunt there, or is it kind of a mix between?
No, it's 98% Americans that come okay. up there. Yeah. It's weird, man. Like, and I think I've told you this before when we've talked, and this is one of the things that I learned from hanging around with these guys for, you know, just over 2 months. Like, I hung out with some of the wealthiest people I've ever met in my life. They didn't care what jacket they were wearing. They didn't care what gun they were shooting, what ammo they were shooting. They didn't care if they had calls around their neck or nothing. These fellas could have had any jacket they wanted, any gun. They had more money than you and I will ever make in a lifetime. And all they wanted was to just sit down in the blind, play grabby ass with their buddy, not have to worry about the wife and kids, not have to worry about business, not have to worry about bills, just worry about
sure.
having a couple drinks at night, getting up and going out and shooting birds. And I just thought it was amazing just to be around them and take it for what it is. And what it is a bunch of people, guys and girls, that just absolutely love hanging around with one another in a blind and shooting birds.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you've had an opportunity to hunt, or at least be involved in some hunts across the majority of Canada there. Is it kind of like the U.S.? It gets better as you get west and it's less populated. Is that kind of similar?
Yeah, well, so like you and I are on the same, well, actually, no, you're on the Atlantic Flyway, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm in the middle of the Central and the Mississippi. So we do great in my area for Canada's, but I love hunting ducks. So for me, we don't see a lot of ducks, and the last couple years, and here's my theory. My theory is that the weather is pushing birds away from their normal flight pattern of what they used to do. And because the weather is changing, I think, and this, again, this is just my theory, but I think I don't even see the majority of ducks. I think they just fly over and they just continue on south and fly over me. So, but to answer your question, yeah, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, like that's your prairie pothole region, right? So mm-hmm. that's your Dakotas, Montana, you know what I mean? Those northern border states. That's where the money is, man. Now, up on that eastern seaboard, you know, you're in PA, but like if you start to keep going up and you're in, you know, Maryland and New York and all those areas, and then you get into Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island, there's some fabulous sea duck and just puddle duck and honkers hunting up there too. I've never hunted the west coast of the continent, so I have no idea, but I'm on social media every day and I look at a state like Washington State and
it's unreal.
It's like it's like a factory for widgeon out there.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it before in my life.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list to get out to the Pacific Flyway. It's a lot of good stuff going on over there now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
Yep. So what are kind of your long-term goals? Looking back now, you're on 200 episodes. Did you kind of think that you'd be doing this show for 200 episodes? Or
no, buddy.
Kind of surprise you.
We started it when COVID was... It was just before COVID started, and the idea was there was a group of us, there was five of us that were pretty good buddies, but we ended up getting scattered all across the country. So the idea was we would do this podcast of us just talking and chatting about getting ready for the upcoming season. And then when the season would come, we wouldn't record any shows. And then when the season was over, we would pick back up. I don't know. People like listening to us five idiots get on and just blabber. And they asked us to keep doing them. So we kept doing them throughout the season. And then we would talk about hunts and stuff. So no, I didn't think it would ever last. You know, when we hit 50 episodes, we were like, wow, this is pretty cool, boys. We hit 50 episodes. Then it was 100. And then, you know... just before I went to Saskatchewan in August, we hit our 200th episode, which was a big deal. And we'll keep going. We'll, as long as people are listening and they like what we're saying, then we'll keep going. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I know you're starting to branch out. I want to get into the refuge that you have at the Toronto Sportsman too. I'm planning on coming up there in March and kind of talk about how you got into that and what that's going to look like.
Well, in 2021, I think it was. This is 25. Yeah, so I think it was around 2021. So the Toronto Sportsman Show is the biggest outdoor show in Canada. It's massive. But over the last decade or two, it has really lost a lot of quality. There was just crap in there, right? Like there would be people selling bracelets and necklaces and socks. And so it was really losing what it was supposed to be. So a friend of mine, she had a big booth and she offered up some space for me for a day. So what she had done, she was there for 3 days and she picked three friends with businesses and offered them space for the day. So we went down, I think it was on the, we went down on a Saturday, I believe it was. And we got there, set up, and it was a rickety old booth that we set up and we got there and us and Dive Bomb were the only two booths in that entire area that had anything to do with waterfowl. And I was just like, how is there no waterfowl booths here? Like we're not Arkansas, we're not Missouri, but there is a lot of duck hunters in this area.
Right.
So when the show was over, I reached out to the general manager and I just told him, I said, listen, I think you're missing out on a, and by this point now, ownership of the show had been taken over by a new company who specialized in outdoor shows. So when I contacted him and I told him, I said, I think you're really missing out on a demographic and about waterfowl hunters. And he's not a hunter, right? He's a trade show guy and that he knows how to put together shows. So I said to him, I said, for next year, I said, I tell you what, you give me a free booth, which is, you know, valued at, say, $2,000 Canadian. So that's probably okay. $50 American. So I said, give me a free booth and give me a little bit of space and I'll bring some companies in. And we'll just call the area the refuge and I'll bring waterfowl companies in. You just provide the space for me. We'll charge them and you'll make your money and the whole bit. But I want a free space. And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So the first year was okay. But it's like everything, Brian, like, and you know, right? Like the first year you try something, everybody, there's always some the skeptics, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think it's going to work. And
right.
That's a lot of money and the whole bit. And Canadians are very apprehensive to put money out. It's not like it in the States, right? And I'm not saying everybody in the States is throwing money around, but business owners in the States are a little bit more forthcoming with, well, this is what it costs in order to grow, right? And sure. And in Canada, we're still lagging behind a little bit on that. So the first year wasn't great. I think I had 5 vendors in the area, including me. And then the next year, I think we bumped up to 18, with some great names. And now this year we're at 18 right now, but there's still a bunch more that's knocking on the door that they're still trying to figure out. And these are all American brands, right? So the Canadian brands are, yeah, they just, I don't know what it is. They're just not right ready to jump in yet. Some of them are, some more of them aren't. But this is mostly the American brands. And to be honest with you, like, we don't really have any brands up in Canada that's in the waterfowl industry, really, right? We've got some great call companies and stuff like that, but the big names, you know, are down in the States, right? So trying to pull those guys up. So right now, the one thing we have going for us, well, the one thing the Americans have going for them is that their dollar is doing really well and the Canadian dollar is doing horrible. So the American brands that come up, they're getting way more bang for their buck. So so this year, you know, Quick Koi, Motion Decoys, they're the title sponsor. They're coming up. They've got a big setup that they're doing. Apex Ammunition is the official ammo sponsor for the show. And Show Me Ducks is in there. And there's a bunch more great, great brands that are, they know that there's a market up here in Canada. It's an unknown right now when it comes to crossing the border with product and trying to set up at a show. So between all of us, we're trying to, you know, paint that picture and get them over here. Because once they're here and they see how easy it is, well, then they're in for good. But it just, there's a little bit of apprehension there, but it's all good. It's going to be a great show. And I can't wait for you to come up because I think you're going to have a blast.
Oh, and yeah, then, for sure.
And I told you, I said, when you come up, like, we'll have the area set up. I'll have all the podcast stuff there come up. And I'd love it if you were able to do your own show and do it right there and then be able to show your listeners just exactly what it is that we're doing up here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Definitely going to record some podcasts on both ends, no doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
This episode is also brought to you by CK Custom Calls, custom built in the USA from the great state of Texas, handmade in a world of mass produced. Check out their calls on their Instagram and Facebook pages at CK Custom Calls. They showcase calls for sale there, and you can also contact them for a custom order. Do they do any seminars or anything like that at the show?
Yeah, so that's one of the things I'm going to try and implement this year. Every year seems like there's a little bit of a learning curve for me. Mm-hmm. So this year, instead of me sitting at a booth, which I've done the last couple years, and it's great to sit at the booth because people come up to you and they want to chat and you know, they want to pick your brain and stuff.
Right.
But Phil and Merck and Craig will be there. And those guys are better at this than what I am anyways. So I thought, well, those fellas can be at the booth and they can do their thing. And what I'm doing this year is we're Real Geese out of Ohio. They're coming. They've been here every year, actually. But they're coming up and they're sponsoring a stage. So we're going to be, this is where we'll do our podcast. We'll do some live streaming of some stuff there. And then we're going to do some goose spread, duck spread seminars, some calling seminars.
Nice.
Yeah, all that stuff is going to be happening up there. A very long-winded way of saying, yes, there's going to be some seminars.
Yeah, that's cool. I know a lot of people enjoy that kind of stuff when they go to a show instead of just having the vendor booths. They like to interact with some of the seminars. So
well,
cool,
yeah,
to hear that you're doing that.
Well, last July, I was in Baton Rouge at the Delta Expo. And Billy Campbell and Dennis Lozier and Rusty Creasy and Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, like all of those guys were doing seminars. And up until that point, I knew people would want to see it. I didn't think it would be as many people that wanted to see it.
Sure.
And every time that any of those guys got up on the stage to talk, and they just talked just like how you and I are talking right now. They weren't reinventing the wheel or nothing. And they had a ton of people just there just to pick their brain, listen to exactly what they were saying and hoping that they were going to learn a new trick or something that they can apply in their own chase for birds, right? So I really noticed it in Baton Rouge, just how popular, you know, these speaking seminars are.
Right. And that's going to be, what, the second weekend of March?
Yeah, the 13th till the 16th of March.
Okay.
And that's happening in Toronto, Ontario.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I want to ask you this. I always get some interesting answers. What's the craziest thing that's ever happened to you or maybe that you've seen while you were waterfowl hunting or even just in the outdoors in general?
Well, here's a funny one for you, and I hope you don't lose any listeners for this. So we were up in this area. It was called the Ottawa Valley, which is monstrous for Canada geese. It's amazing area for hunting Canada geese. Big ag, lots of water around, lots of agriculture. So we get up there, and it was Friday afternoon. One of our buddies had made a pot of chili that was sitting. We all show up, unpack, get into our rooms, hit the pot of chili, and then we're going to start going out scouting and try and find our birds for the next morning. We're driving around, and I could feel this chili is just not settling well for me. And I could feel it, my stomach. And I'm looking at the boys. I'm like, boys, we got to find a service station or something because I've got to hit the head. I got to use the bathroom here. And they were like, yeah, there's no bathrooms out around here, buddy. Like, you're just going to have to hold it. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to hold it. This is happening. So anyways, we're driving along. I was like, boys, can't. And, you know, put the truck in park, ran out of the truck as fast as I could to get down into the ditch on the side of the road. And I'm in a mess. without getting too graphic, Brian, I'm in a mess. I've now, the only thing I'm wearing is a ball hat and a t-shirt because everything else is off. And I'm down in this, thankfully, I'm deep enough in this ditch that cars passing by, they can't see me. The boys are in the truck in tears laughing because they're like, how are you going to get back home? Like, do we have to sit next to you in your truck with you with no clothes on? You know what I mean? And the boys are just giving me the gears the whole time, laughing and throwing rocks at me. And it was embarrassing. I had to bury my clothes in a ditch and take my dog's towel that was in the back of the truck and wrap it around me. And that's how we finished out the scout. And that's how I showed up back to the camp. And when I walk in with a big bright red Purina towel wrapped around me and my boots and hat and t-shirt on, there was a whole lot of questions. And the boys are still buckled over laughing because they can't believe it had happened. And
so, that's great.
So, yeah. So that was a good time.
Just have to tell them that you were trying out a kilt or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, even whatever lie I could have thought up, the boys were going to get rid of that. They were going to make sure everybody knew exactly what happened,
right?
Even if I wanted to tell the lie.
So what's next for Damien or for Punisher Waterfowl? You got any big stuff coming up for 25?
Well, 25 is going to be a big year, buddy. So we're in January right now, so merch will be at the Toronto Sportsman Show with the Refuge. So that's merch. May, I think there's another show that's happening close in around here. It'll be like a hunting and fishing show. June, we'll be getting ready to head to Oklahoma City because that's happening in July. So that'll take us a little while to get ready, packed up, and get all our gear squared away. July will be Oklahoma City. We come back from that. Then I'm taking the family. We're going to Hawaii in August. That's a bucket list vacation for us. That's somewhere that we've always wanted to go. So we're going there in August. I get back. I think I'm back for a week and a half, and then I load up, and then I head back out to Saskatchewan. That'll get me, you know, that's August till November. I come home in November and you know, finish off the season here in Ontario with some buddies. So, you know, when you break it down like that, the year goes by so very, very fast.
Yeah.
So now I'm just, just enjoying it, buddy. And, you know, my daughter, you and I have talked about this. I'm trying to enjoy all the little things a little bit more, and you know, my daughter's gone away to university this year, so my son's in grade 10, football and the whole, you know, gamut of things that come with a 15-year-old boy, so I get to hang out and do all that sort of stuff with him. So the year and the time goes by super, super fast, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying anything wrong about it. But during this downtime, I enjoy the downtime. I enjoy cooking dinner for my wife. She's a nurse. So when she comes home, I like to have dinner on the table for her. I like being able to take my kid to football matches and taking them to practice and watching football with them. And then, you know, surprise trips down to university to pick my daughter up to take her out for dinner or whatever. I'm just enjoying the little things. And then when the big things come, I'll be stressed out and panic and freaking out for, you know, a week. And then it's over. And then I go back to little things again and then get ready for the next big thing where I'm freaking out and running around like a chicken with my head cut off. So,
yeah,
it's all balance, buddy.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just saying that on my last episode that, you know, we got a week left of duck season here in Pennsylvania. And I don't really get into that, like duck depression and stuff like that. It's kind of like you said, every season has its time, and then you just kind of move into the next one and appreciate it for what it is, even the little things.
Yeah, and I don't know, like we've had a lot of guests on our show, and that seems to be the common theme. And I'm not going to be one of those guys that come on a show and say, well, the young people don't know how it is and stuff, and that's not what I'm getting at. But, you know, I'll be 48 years old in a month. I enjoy my waterfowl season, but when I was 20, it was different than what it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I matured a little bit. Some things are more important to me than duck hunting.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
oh, yeah.
You know, for the people that, and I'm not painting everybody with the same brush, but I think the people that get into that big duck depression, I think in a couple years they'll be like, just roll with the punches. They'll get over it. We all had that stage where we just couldn't wait for the next season.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Well, I got some rapid fire questions for you to wrap up if you're ready.
Old boy.
Pretty easy.
All right.
What's your favorite waterfowl?
Mallard.
What's your favorite waterfowl recipe?
Oh, just mallard seared cast iron pan, just with some butter, just sear it medium rare, eat it just like that. As you shoot them, eat them.
Perfect. What's your favorite shotgun?
Beretta A300.
Nice. What's your favorite snack in the blind?
Oh, Coffee Crisp.
Okay.
Yeah, Coffee Crisp chocolate bars, 100%.
Do you prefer hunting lakes, swamps, or rivers?
Swamps.
How many decoys do you use on an average hunt?
Ducks, I would say minimum 24 with a spinner and say like a Higdon pulsator, mm-hmm. You know, that makes those splash.
Right.
That's ducks on water. But now we're talking out west and geese.
Sky's the limit.
600, 700 decoys easy.
Okay. You prefer to go by boat, kayak, or walking in?
Boat, if I can do it, yeah.
Okay. And what's been your favorite place to waterfowl hunt of all the places you've been?
If I could, and I haven't done it, Brian, and honest to God, I haven't, and I got to make an effort to do it, I would like to go back home to where I started, knowing what I know now, and even if I just threw out two or three decoys, my success would probably be 500 times, because it's not for the numbers of birds that I would get back there, but the nostalgia of going there. That would be, and I've hunted some pretty amazing spots, but
for sure,
if I could do it, that would be a pretty cool experience.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, Damien. Take a minute to let everybody know where they can find you and anything else you want to wrap up with.
Oh, buddy, thanks so much for having me on. It was fun. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I'm not short for words, that's for sure, but sometimes I get rambling on and people could lose their attention. But thanks so much, buddy, for having me on. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, all the social medias, any of the podcast software, however you get your podcast, just search Punisher Waterfowl. You will find us. Give us a like, check us out, subscribe to our station and listen, give us a listen and let us know what you like. If there's something you don't like, tell us. And, as long as you're not a jerk about it, we'll probably listen to you and make some changes. So, buddy, thanks so much. It was a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, thank you for making the time, and looking forward to seeing you in Toronto.
Awesome.
Have a good night.
You too, buddy.
Big thank you again to Damien for taking time out of his day to join me on the show. As he always says, surround yourself with good people and good things will happen. Big love. And thank you all for tuning into this episode. I really appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Migration Waterfowl. We also have a Facebook group for the podcast. Please join us there as well. And if you could, please check out our YouTube channel and subscribe while you are there. You can find links to our merchandise store on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Check out our shirts, hoodies, thermoses, coffee, and more over there. And now, through the end of January, 10% of everything we sell will go to Ducks Unlimited. If you like what you've heard here, please take a moment and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Send me a message or email after you leave the review, and I will mail you a podcast decal. And get out there and enjoy the outdoors, but make sure you seek out a relationship with the one who created everything. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. And remember, the migration is coming. Be ready when it arrives. Tune in next week to hear another great guest on the Migration Waterfowl Podcast."
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.